dear brothers and sisters, service guests, continuing our services with that prayer of faith that if God should show will to open his word, I shall read from the third chapter of the prophet Malachi, the third portion, in Jesus' name. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that worked wickedness are set up, and yea, they that tempt God are delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son, then that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Amen. We have been able to for many days be here in this celebration of God's children. The goodness of God and love has been spoken here. How has that love of God come forth? How it approaches people. Invitation has been called into God's kingdom. And it is a great matter in our lives, or in the lives of man. I remember in my own youth, when I have been able to dwell under the care of Christianity, especially those battles as a teenager, how many were those enticements and temptations that a young person, even back then, had to battle against. This portion of the Bible, which I have now read, is from the book of the prophet Malachi. The writer to Hebrews says that God spoke often and in many different ways through his prophets. What did these prophets speak in their own time, during their own time? Much has been written in this third chapter. What was the order of God's work? They speak of the promise of God first of John the Baptist. And we all remember the life of John the Baptist and his sermons that he spoke of God's kingdom. He exhorted people unto repentance and showed that if a person does not repent, that his portion of everlasting life is lost. In this book, we also speak of the coming of Christ, of that central issue, central matter, how great that matter was when the Spirit of God through Isaiah spoke of the patient Lord. He carried our sins and our weaknesses. He suffered that punishment that was our part. This is what they preached in the Old Testament. It was such a sermon that spoke to people, and it helped people to believe upon that promise through which the travelers, believers of the Old Testament, were able to experience what the great grace of God is, even as we just heard a moment ago. That grace is such there we experience. We experience peace, joy, and happiness in the Holy Spirit. What was most important? It was the most important in the Old Testament, and it is most important today. And it will be the most important as long as we live here, as long as man survives. This work of God, the prophets made, he proclaimed that which the Spirit of God revealed. But then we can see during that time in the midst of the believers that there was souls that worked against the work of Christ, our God. This text is in our church handbook. Is a text for day of watching, to be watchful. It means this. It reminds us how important it is to be watching, to be watchful personally. How important it is if we are partaker of this God's gift, that it would open, that we would open our hearts, and the Word of God opens our hearts to believe and experience. Such a work this Word of God has. Now God spoke of where we are explained that this text that we read, that there were such people that God spoke unto, that you speak against me very much. When I have read this portion of the Bible and think when Jesus spoke of being watchful, that look around for the signs of the times. Look at the signs around us and how do we accept or not accept these signs. And during this time of the prophet, when that work or the gospel was preached, there were such people who spoke. There were such people that began to speak a lot against God. I have thought of this reflected to this text. That is it the same today? That are there those who speak against God? It has begun to feel when I have listened and read the news. We can read or hear when we speak of these matters. There's kind of, you could say, the spirit of atheism. That person's thoughts and a person's wisdom makes God's word empty. And even more, this. That makes this matter of believing empty. And here, in this book of Malachi, about 3,000 years ago, when it says that you speak against us, it is worthless when we serve God. What have we spoken so much against thee? When I remember my own youth, and there, and those temptations that I had, one that I remember and came many times was, does it pay for me to believe? Even as it says here, does it pay for me to believe? For there are so many things that we do not, many things that we do not participate in, even though our flesh and blood would want to. And then when I listened to the word of God's kingdom, when I was under such temptations, it began to feel that it troubled my mind. As it says here, mournfully, that we walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. I would think in this way, that there are so many young people here today . You have not been free of this temptation, that God has not told you that does it pay to be believing, does it pay to be sorrowful before the Lord of hosts. I have so many times in sermons spoken on my own life, and we would not have to as speakers, but with according to this, I would say, the love of the world pulled me, even though I did not have much wisdom. It brought up these questions and brought forth this, that my flesh and blood so often wanted that what I could not have. I remember one services, Sunday evening services, a nice summer evening. They were in the home. I sat in the entryway. I was scared to go in. And a man came from the inside and asked me, that are you, young man, believing? It was a question that hurt me. It hurt me so deeply. I said that I do not know. I do not know if I'm believing. When I left those services, in my heart, I felt such a hurting that something has now happened that I had not hoped for. I could not tell anybody, to my relatives or friends. But month after month, I was distressed, and it seemed like life was not interesting, and I could not sleep at night. One who was distressed in this way, I was distressed in this way. Once I was sent to my grandparents, who made many mission trips in the history. Erkki Kela from Oulunsalo. I went there. He was a servant of the word. I did that what I was sent for. And when my duty was done, what I had to do there, the whole time I thought in my heart or mind that can I open my heart onto this man? And God gave such a power. I began to tell this man that, listen, that this has happened, that I've been distressed for many months. He came and set his hands upon me. That, listen, Matti, that in Jesus' name and blood, all your sins are forgiven. Now, when I have been a servant of the word, I have that experience that I experienced there. I have compared it to that part of the Bible when Paul and Silas were in the first mission trip in Europe, and there in the city of Philippi, there were such people who were asking questions of salvation. On Sundays, they went to pray by the river, and it says that Paul and Silas preached unto them, and it is said that God opened their hearts to believe. I was able to experience this very strongly, and that is why in sermons I have often said that this matter of faith, it is God's work from the beginning to the end. God is that who prepares our hearts that His gospel is needed there. And when His gospel is opened, when the heart is open and God's gospel is preached there, one becomes peaceful. I then prayed in my life to God that that I could remain believing and have preserved this gift. And when I think of you, dear young, today, during this time, when you're living this time, the world is very strong. This wisdom of the world and trying to find solutions through wisdom. You will face these trials that dear young you are facing. Do not give up your faith, even if it feels you have no faith in your heart. It says in the text that these people looked happily at the world of the unbelievers and said how the ungodly are successful. They tease God, but yet they are nevertheless successful. We see this today. They speak against God, and yet are successful. This is also a temptation or a trial when we see the unbelieving world being successful. As God says, He will allow the sun to shine to the righteous and to the unbelievers, meaning during the life of this world. In this text, there's a good instruction unto us, children of God, who are in this kingdom. That those who feared the Lord and comforted each other, are we not children of God? We have not been put here to battle alone. For there have been those others here who have feared God and have a childlike mind like Abraham had when by faith he became obedient. And in his last trial, God said that now I know that you fear God, that you fear God. It is not fear of punishment. It may be on the person's conscience, as the first pair who feared the Lord. They feared that punishment when God said that the day you eat of that tree, you shall die. And when God called them, they hid. Man was afraid of punishment. Listen, dear friends, if there are someone at these services who has an awakened conscience, who is afraid, then how will God punish me? God does not wish for nothing else that He can, through this fear, lead you to that gospel to believe, as to the first pair, when they confessed their sin, their deed. And so it is, and it happened, and even this spring. And we have remembered these texts this year. How has the promise of God been fulfilled? How has this promise been fulfilled? It is through His living word, even today, here in our midst. Those that feared God comforted one another. We have, in the time we are living now, we have sometimes we do not visit. This has been noticed. And sometimes when we meet, we speak of issues of this life. These are important, and we speak of these. But I remember from my youth that there were young or old men and women that when you went to visit, they began to speak of faith. How has been your travels? What type of battles have you had? What type of failings have you had? And that. And how has God helped you? And listen, brothers and sisters. It has been this way forever. The work of the kingdom has continued. And he has taken care of us. He has called into his kingdom and taken care of his children so that they would be preserved in faith. Be preserved in faith until the end of times. And such work we need. And these that comforted each other, they said that God will hear this, and a book of remembrance will be written. What does this book mean? God knows all. He sees all. He sees our life, each one of our lives, as it says in Psalm 139. When he has seen, he has written our name in a book of life. God is all-knowing and sees all. And God, through his own Son and his Word, take care of us. And in this way, these believers, they explained or told that those that fear God will comfort one another, and the Lord will hear this, and the Lord will hear this. It says that the Lord hears when we comfort one another. What does this mean? In the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, it is told of a happen when a person takes a man for himself. It says in this way, during that time, I wish to hear from heaven. How does Christ teach this? Did he not teach in this way? That which is forgiven on earth, those sins are forgiven in heaven. This is that. The biggest comforter. That if someone was at these services, who was looking for this love of God, God wishes to forgive you and wishes to hear the forgiveness and says, yet that your name will be written in remembrance, in the book of remembrance. The scriptures write in the book of Revelation of two books. First was open, the books. The book of the conscience of people. And then another book was open, which is the book of life. And God has marked, have thought in this way. How does one open these books of conscience? I will tell you an experience there at our cabin. I went there often, and we spoke of these matters. And a friend began to speak that when he was in such a situation in life, that he will not survive. They were in a boat, and it was sinking, but he explained that when he thought of the end, his life went as a movie. His whole life flashed before him. And when he looked at that film, or that what flashed before him, his heart was pricked. For that reason, that is it not that at the end was written that in Jesus' name and precious blood all sins were forgiven. It is comforting to be when we are where we have such books of life, when we have become to believe through the great grace of God, as a great sinner we have been able to receive all sins forgiven. And then there was that other book which mentioned in our text, the Book of Life. In the Book of Life, as it says in Psalm 139, that I know you in your womb. This I formed you in your mother's womb. And I wrote your days into my book. This is the first time your name is written in a book of life. Even as believers, we may feel that I have so many sorrows that nobody knows. Listen, our heartfelt friend, the Lord Jesus, he knows and feels every one of our days. As it's Jesus preached about this, that not even a hair will drop from your head without the Heavenly Father knowing. So closely, our life is in a book of life, is in a book of God. And in our text, it said that the Lord will listen, hearken, and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. Perhaps we should stop here for a moment. When we comfort one another, or we pray, which is such a great matter, that we can speak through prayer our cares and sorrows to the Heavenly Father. Here, I would wish to say, from my own youth, I feared that where will I find my way in this society. I prayed unto the Heavenly Father that he would open my life, and I asked for a believing partner. And now when I'm 80 years old and looked at my life, I marvel at that I, who have doubted, does God hear? he has heard. He gave unto me my own place in life. And the best place for me is in the midst of God's kingdom. We have such a God who hears us. Maybe many of you have had this experience as I have had, that God does not hear. I often think of this, that one part of the Bible in the book of Revelation says that the prayers of the righteous went before gold tablets, before the Father. If I say they did not go, like if I say sarcastically, blown into the wind, but they went all the way to the Heavenly Father. And we can experience this in our own hearts. And here in our text it said, for those that feared the Lord and thought upon his name or remembered him. This is in short and said how such a great matter that our name is written in a book of life, and that God remembers us. But it also says in our text, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. What is this day? That we are possessions of God. I think of this. It is that day when the Son of God, being bloody, he prayed there on a hill on Golgotha and called unto the Father. Upon that hill where the forgiveness of sins was preached to those that hated him. And on that hill when the Son of Man said, everything is fulfilled. Everything's fulfilled. The greatest payment was paid. The greatest love, this gift, was paid through the blood of Christ onto our salvation. And this work of the Son of God, as we have heard so often here, it is done for all man. This one day of salvation was made for all people. And this heart of the Father, of which David says in his psalm, that gracious and merciful is the Lord, and nice to all. Why do all people are not partakers of this gift? For that reason, that they have forsaken it. They have not opened their hearts to believe that gospel, which through faith, this gift would have entered their heart. We have that prayer of heart that God would open the hearts of those who are not believing. And when he opened hearts to believe the gospel, it brings joy to everyone. And even in heaven, They rejoice. Sometimes we are blamed that we would not want others to reach heaven. No, that is mistaken. For our heart is the same as God. We wish to pardon the sinful person and they could experience the peace of God. When I speak of the day of salvation, the second day is such a day that God helps a person into personal faith. And it means this, that one who feels his own sins needs the forgiveness of sins, that gospel of the kingdom. And through this is open personal faith. It is in this way. We all have to have personal faith. We cannot believe, someone else cannot believe on our behalf, even though Christ died for the sins of the whole world. But we need personal faith, such a faith as the doubting Thomas had when Jesus said, do not be doubting, be believing. And he looked at the wounds of Christ. He cried, my Lord, my Savior. This is living faith. It is not that we acknowledge it as knowledge, but that we have it in our hearts. This gift is in our hearts. We so preciously think or speak how God wishes to pardon as a man pardons his son. Sometimes I thought to think of this. When we speak so much of the Old Testament, that it is such a hard book that only brings fear into the heart of a person. But when God through His Spirit can enlighten onto people, it becomes such a picture as the heart of a parent towards his own son. I have experienced this, and I mentioned it in an interview. I remember that moment when I was asked that can I yet believe my sins forgiven, and I was ready to preach that God gave such love to me that I was ready to start preaching. I was ready to preach immediately. That during our time there are those who have left God's kingdom. And when they have left, they have maybe gone very far, so far that they they have, with their foot, kicked the hearts of their parents. And I have thought of this. And we have been able to see and experience that when a lost lamb or a prodigal son returns back to his father's home, I have thought better not believe in home. Where there has much been prayed and many doubts. And when this happens, I have said in this way, even though we are believing, and often dried, we are feel dried. But here, no one so dry that they such a parent would not lift their hands and preach to their own children. Now listen, dear child, you believe all forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And this is what the prophet here wishes to say. As a parent pardons his own son in the same way God pardons his own. I wish to say here, dear brothers and sisters, there may be many parents in this situation. You have those doubts and fears. How do we go forward? Listen, brothers and sisters. God's promises. Still, in God's kingdom, there's the mind of the Father, wishes to forgive, lift his hands, who feels this in their hearts, and I say this, that uplift your hearts to believe all sins and doubts forgiven. This is the heart of the Heavenly Father. It is such a heart. When one returns, it is gracious, this gospel that calls into God's kingdom. And here in the end, it says, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. That when a person can experience this love of God, it opens onto how a person reaches salvation. There's a certain bank who came to our house a couple times. He spoke of his own life. He said that when he was young, it was very hard for him to be. He searched many different churches, and he was a preacher in a certain church. And someone told him, go to those services where the believers are. And the banker said, that's the last place I will go. But because he did not have peace, he decided one day that I will go to services, and said, when he went to those services and listened to the sermon, there, when God's word was explained, and when he had read that scripture, when he was in wrong godliness, that underneath those sermons, it was open, that question, that how God makes a sinful person righteous. And I don't remember if it was that time or another next or the next time he received the grace of repentance. He said, "Listen, Matti, I know from my own experience how God justifies a sinner. And he justifies personally by faith unto the Lord Jesus. And through this, then comes the love towards God's kingdom. And with this experience, this is seen what is the portion of a believer. I will not go into this, but Peter, in his epistle, says that judgment should leave from God, the house of God. And if it starts from us, what kind of end will those receive who do not believe upon this? I would hope the hearts at these services could be open to this sermon, to this gospel. What is the sermon? There is much about Christ in this sermon. But I once read from my parents' books, there was one message from 1883 or something. There was a text that was explained. Matthew 8, the forgiveness of sins. And Luther wrote about this and this summary, and wrote in this way, that the gospel, in short, is only the forgiveness of sins and a sermon from God's kingdom. And if these two elements are left out, it is not God's kingdom. It is an important matter that God's kingdom, that the gospel of Christ, where you can believe your sins forgiven. And are you not, brothers and sisters, in your own hearts experience this, that sometimes very tempted and feeling dry, you have gone to services. And God, in his love, has begun to awaken you and preach that, listen, you weary brother and sister, you can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Is it not a great proclamation in God's kingdom? And remain securely believing in Jesus' name. Your sins are forgiven. When I have explained unto you of the love of God, where my life has also been part of, I still have that flesh and blood. I have often battled against this, as Paul writes, and sometimes it is so difficult. Sometimes I am distressed. At the end, I wish to ask you, brothers and sisters, that can I yet believe my own sins forgiven? It is the desire of my heart to believe with you. Let's follow this grace kingdom of God, for we will soon be removed into the house of God. In Jesus' name, amen.